It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Spoken word artist Dalek Brathwaite is from Los Angeles. He broke through by winning the Brave New Voices International Poetry Slam, and he's performed all over the world with his blend of hip-hop theater and spoken word. And I want to play for you a little bit of a sample of his sound. This is called Implant Fantasies, and it's from his 2012 record, Spirit Trials.
What's the point?
They say life is for the living, and I want the life, but I don't wanna die to get it. Somewhere I got this feeling in my head, I got a feeling, gotta have it. Though it's plastic like silicone, it's silly, oh. Implanted fantasies, implanted fantasies. Oh, they're just implanted fantasies, I don't care.
I'm living in a world with no consequences. What a dream. But who conscious is this? You got problems, they got fixes. Lots of liquor pill popping down prescription.
Just a little sample of the work of Dalek Brathwaite, who is here in the studio with me now. He's also in the midst of a nearly two-week residency packed with public and private workshops in Cedar Rapids and Des Moines. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So tell me a little bit about the kinds of workshops you've been doing and the people you've been meeting.
Yeah. I've been going to group homes. I've been working with special poetry groups. I've been working with this group in particular called The Hook. It was a program started by Akwi, and she works with youth and with adults who are interested in spoken word poetry. So I've been doing this workshop just to get them to tell their stories, to get them to tell some of the things that might be the most shameful, the most embarrassing, the most private to them, and really start confronting those issues and those things inside of us, because this play, Spirit Trials, was very personal for me and at first very shameful, but confronting it and confronting that shame, confronting that embarrassment actually helped me to make use of it and make the most of it and maximize it. And I think that's what I'm doing right now with performing this play here in Spirit Trials and touring it all over the country.
Well, and this residency culminates with a performance of Spirit Trials at CSPS Hall in Cedar Rapids March 10th through the 12th,
yeah,
at 8 p.m.
Uh-huh.
each evening. So I want to learn a little bit about your background. I know you're from Sacramento, California.
Yeah.
So how did you get involved in poetry and spoken word performance?
Well, I started rapping, just interested in hip-hop when I was 11, 12 years old. I started taking theater classes. So when spoken word poetry started to become very popular, I think through HBO Deaf Poetry Jam, and it was just the time, I think, that there was just more consciousness around this art form that was developing. People started to open mics in my area, and then I went to these open mics, and I would just perform my raps at first, but then I'd see the other spoken word poets, and just with my combination of theater and my combination of hip-hop, it just seemed like something I could do. It seemed like something perfect for me, and so I just kind of blended my style of hip-hop with my style of theater and created my spoken word style. And when I went to UC Davis when I was 18, I joined up with a crew called Illiteracy that I'm still part of. And Illiteracy was connected to this organization called Youth Speaks, which is a national organization that uses hip-hop and spoken word to engage youth in literacy. And through this organization, through this program, I really got my first performance opportunities. And that was the organization that helped me get on HBO Deaf Poetry Jam and helped launch my crew, Illiteracy, through, you know, touring all kind of colleges and university throughout the nation.
Now, as you alluded to a few minutes ago, this performance that you'll be doing in Cedar Rapids, Spirit Trials, comes out of a difficult experience in your life. So start us off at the beginning. Give us the background of Spirit Trials.
I say it in the piece. Maybe the piece says it best. I was caught with four stems of mushrooms, a felony, in California and Alabama. My state solution was for me to go to this government-sponsored, spiritually-centered drug recovery program to find a God of my own understanding. That's what I was trying to do with the mushrooms. No, I'm just playing. But and then, you know, through this experience, it forced me. The way the criminal justice system is set up is if you get caught with drugs, you are labeled as a drug addict who needs help. And so I was forced to admit that I had a drug addiction and that I needed help and I needed to go through this program. Coming through that program, trying to vindicate myself, trying to get this case dismissed, I decided to write about it. And in my writing, addiction, religion, and the law all intersect in this drug recovery program. And I, as the main narrator, embody four different program participants with varying levels of criminality and addiction to really understand my own place in what seems to be a cultural rite of passage as a young Black male through the criminal justice system.
And you feel like you've had real experience with racial profiling in the police.
Of course, that's how we start off the piece. You know, it's like I think the law inherently acknowledges that you know, we can't enforce every rule all the time, that eventually the consistent code breakers will get caught, and then there's an allowance for most of us, almost kind of good people, you know, to be in the right. But I have been in the right on the right-hand side of the road so many times for the wrong reasons. And then I continue to list off these nine other times where, you know, I'm in the right and I think police are just profiling and harassing me just because of what I look like or what culture I tend to lean to. And, you know, it's not that I'm innocent, you know, it's not that maybe some of these people or the majority of these people that are being under surveillance or being criminalized or punished are completely innocent. It's just that some people get targeted more. Some people...
The stakes are higher because of the color of your skin.
The stakes are higher, and also you just have a more probability of running into the police, you know? And if you have more probability of running into the police, there's more probability that you're not going to be doing something right at that time. Whereas, you know, we all are young and dumb. At some point, we all do stupid things. We all maybe cross the line or tip the line of, you know, what's illegal. But if you are under surveillance so much and you're harassed so much, chances are you're going to get caught more often than somebody who's not being surveillance like that. Yeah.
Now, this is obviously a really personal performance, and writing the poetry, the hip hop, the spoken word. This, you mentioned shame. I mean, this comes from a difficult place in your life. Is this new for you, or has that always been where the poetry comes from?
No, I wouldn't say. My friend used to tell me that I write from a position of power, that, you know, I could, especially my spoken word poetry, it's a lot of social commentary. So I'm outside looking in, I'm outside criticizing, I'm outside kind of pointing out what's wrong and what's flawed in a system or whatnot. But I think this is the first time I'm talking from inside the system. I'm talking from feeling like I am under the system or being crushed by the system. I'm vulnerable as I'm talking. So overcoming this fear of being judged, this fear that I have to give so much background about myself in order for people to not think something of me. And I think that was the fear initially of, you know, I don't want to be criminalized for the rest of my life. I don't want to have this on my record and have to report this, you know, throughout my life, and I don't want to be judged for it all my life. So instead of shying away from that fear, instead of running away from that fear, I chose to embrace it and lean into it. Okay, well, if you're going to judge me, let me tell my story. If I'm going to be criminalized, well, let me make the most of it, and let me really let me tell a story that I think a lot of criminalized young people of color have. It's the same story. And if I could speak for it, if I have the tools to really make the most of this story to drive home a point, then I feel like it's my duty to do so.
A lot of us, I think all of us, have done something that we feel is wrong at some point in our life and have felt that shame inside. And if you hold on to it and you don't tell someone what's going on, it can just kind of eat away at you on the inside. So in writing about this, in doing this performance, has that changed how you feel?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I think this goes back to the workshop that I've been doing and what I've been telling all the participants in this workshop is that that shame, that embarrassment, that secret, it's going to be inside of you no matter what. And it's just going to exist as kind of this blurry shadow. Like a lot of the participants in my workshop, I told them to write something down that they've never told anybody, that they're embarrassed of, that they're ashamed of. And just in writing that, they were like, oh, I forgot about it, or I revisited it. And it really shows you that it really exists. It's just this shadowy thing that you kind of put in the back of your mind. And I believe that, you know, when you just let it sit there, it just becomes whatever it wants to be. It becomes the story that you're given. It becomes other people's perceptions of it or whatnot. But when you take it out of yourself, when you write it down, when you put it out there, you have the opportunity to make it what you want it to be. You have the license to transform this incident or event. And I think through that, you can really transcend it. I know I'm a testament to that. I feel like I have transcended it to the point where, you know, I couldn't talk to my best friend or my parents about this at first. But now I'm, you know, on Iowa Public Radio talking to complete strangers about, you know, what I've been through. And, you know, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed anymore. You know, this is a story. I'm a human. I make mistakes. But I think there's a bigger story and a larger story and a bigger purpose that I could use this experience to really make life better for some people and be a light, shine a light.
Now, I mentioned that you'll be doing this performance, Spirit Trials, at CSPS in Cedar Rapids. That's March 10th through the 12th. Mm-hmm. I called it an hour-long show, and because I was having a hard time coming up with words to describe it. What's it like? Tell me about it.
It is a dramatic performance, I would say, first and foremost. It blurs the line between dramatic performance and a hip-hop performance. I got my DJ Dion Decibels. He has his beat machine. He has his turntables. I have my keyboard. So we're really soundtracking ourselves. I use the music from the album that I released in 2012, Spirit Trials. I use it as a soundtrack for this story to really, you know, to create and conjure the emotion and the emotional narrative of the story. And I narrate through spoken word, poetry, poetic verse, and I go in and out of characters who talk in monologues and in regular dramatic monologues. So you got that. You got this blend of live hip hop music being made. You got a blend of spoken word poetry as I narrate, and then you have this kind of traditional dramatic monologues that I go in and out of.
Does the show change from performance to performance?
Well, currently, here in Cedar Rapids at the Legion Arts Center at CSPS Hall, where we'll be performing, they gave us a week to just kind of do our thing and trying to, you know, make everything tight and make everything the way we want it to be. So things are changing now. It's subtle changes. It's really musical changes. It's, you know, Dion and I are music heads, we're sound heads, so it's just like, oh, I don't like that, the way that thing just drops in right there. Just give it an extra second. So things like that. But I think for the most part, it's basically the same show we premiered last year in San Francisco. Yeah.
Now, doing the performance and taking it around the country and maybe even around the world is one thing. Doing these workshops and working with young people is another element of this.
Yeah.
Is that a new part of what you're doing? Is that something new for you?
No, this is part of the culture of Youth Speaks that I come out of. Youth Speaks, like I said, uses hip hop and spoken word to engage young folks in literacy. And I've been teaching workshops, facilitating workshops for young people, for college age students for the last 12 years, I would say. And Youth Speaks really gave me the tools to craft these workshops and to get people into a space where they feel comfortable sharing their stories. And I think I'm beginning to take it and make it my own.
Right.
And
how does that feel when you help somebody find their voice?
I feel fulfilled. I feel like I've done something well. Deanna and I are actually about to perform at Anamosa State Penitentiary today. And, even the first time I premiered this piece, I went to a juvenile detention center and I performed some of that story. And just the reaction I got from the men locked up, it was just like, you know, this is what the work's for. This is who it's supposed to speak to. And I know it's given them the courage and the empowerment to start speaking their own stories. And I think that's powerful. I think that's what we need. And for me, it's partly promoting the show, but some folks can't even come to the show, you know? So for me, this is just good work. This is just really using this piece, this story, to do as much good in the world as I can.
Dalek, thank you so much for talking
with
me
today.
Yeah, for
sure. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Dalek Brathwaite, he is a spoken word artist, and he's been spending 2 weeks in Cedar Rapids and Des Moines. This residency culminates in a performance of Spirit Trials, which is an hour-long show at CSPS Hall in Cedar Rapids, March 10th through the 12th at 8 p.m. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.
I mean, life seems easier that way. It's so fun. It doesn't hurt so bad. This world where everything is of no consequence.
Dreaming of strippers and overcame women with no shame. Lick it up, licking up on the old flame. Rockstar living the wisdom of Cobain. If I'm known by face, then I'm still a known name. Remember Tina went down on me in the club. The rose with my semen on the chin like a phoenix. Was she on the E-pill? Maybe I was that hot. Living for the thrill, they were.